Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and join in the conversation. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. Going to be talking about a couple things here this evening. And let me go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. I just pray that you would bless the program this evening. Pray that you would use it for your glory, and just pray again that you would help us, Lord, to be able to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody, point people to Christ here tonight. And we just thank you for the opportunity, and we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be with you tonight, as I said, and we're going to talk about a couple things here, and let's see. I'm just trying to get my computer to act, cooperate tonight. It just seems like when you start the program, you're all set, ready to go, and the computer bombs out on you. I don't know why that is. Somebody said one time, a friend of mine said, that's because it's the prince of the power of the air being active. So, but at any rate, we'll worry about that later on, see if we can figure out what's going on with the computer. But as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Speaking of the computer, I just want to remind you that you can contact or find us online livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can go online to Facebook, perhaps, and you can find us at on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, and you can give us a contact us there, follow us on Facebook, and you can see some different programs. When the computer cooperates, we do Facebook Live, which if you're trying to find us online, you're not going to find right now because they're not cooperating. But at any rate, glad to have you with us here tonight. And as I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673, and you can join us here tonight with your questions there. I'm going to start out tonight with something that has been, to me, something I've been looking at here a little bit, probably for off and on for about a year or so now, and I was ready to start the program tonight saying, well, welcome to the last show. No, but all this stuff is going on online. Perhaps you've heard about this, that on September 23rd, depending on who you listen to, either the earth is coming to an end, or if the earth is not, the world is not coming to an end, then certainly the Lord is going to return on September 23rd, 2017. Or if the Lord doesn't return on September 23rd, 2017, that's when the Christians are going to be caught out of the world. The rapture is going to take place on September 23rd, 2017. As a consequence, there are people out there who really are believing that the Lord is going to come back, or the world's going to come to an end on September 23rd. And we've touched on this a little bit here in on the program and on our Friday program, and even at our church, our Friday night Bible study, we talked about this a little bit last Friday night. And so as a consequence, I thought since September 23rd is coming up this coming Saturday, and if they're all true, then we won't be able to do the program next Sunday, will we? No, well, don't worry. I'm not saying I believe that this is going to take place. And so we're going to analyze this a little bit. And we're going to try and see what the Bible says about this. And we're going to see if we can make sense out of this furor that is on the internet right now. In fact, before coming up here tonight, I looked at several things talking about September 23rd and why they believe that this is going to be the end, or at least the beginning of the end. And so let's take our Bibles, if you got one handy, or just as I read along here on in the Bible on Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. This is the basis for this. The Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven to cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into God, or unto God and to his throne." Now, I'm going to read a little further. I've already read more than what is usually given in these people's position, or I mean, in when they put their position out that the world's coming to an end. And the last verse here is, that I want to read, is verse 6. "And the woman fled in the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and that they should feed her there 1,260 days." And so as we look at this, here's the question. Well, is this the end of the world, or at the very least the rapture of the church on December 23rd, 2017? And so we're going to look at a couple of things here, and let me give you sort of the gist of what I see a lot of people saying when I read about this or watch some of these things that I've looked at online. The general idea is that because the Bible says in Genesis, and it does say this in Genesis chapter 1, that the sun and the moon and the stars are given for signs. In fact, it says this in Genesis chapter 1 here in verse number 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven," excuse me, "to give light upon the earth. And it was so." And it goes on to talk about the creation of the sun, the moon, the stars. And so they say, well, look, the stars and the sign, the lights in the sky are to be for signs. Well, yeah, for seasons, for days and years. And I was telling our church this morning that when you look at the night sky, you know, you can see various constellations making their way through the night sky. A couple of weeks ago, my wife was on call, and she had to go out on call at night. She's a hospice nurse, and she was coming back and got back like 3-4 in the morning, and she said, "Oh, I saw Orion in the sky. Orion was visible in the sky." And Orion is a relatively easy constellation to pick out. Some of the constellations are kind of, you look at them and you think, how in the world did they get that out of that group of stars? Somebody had some really good imagination there, but Orion's fairly easy to pick out. It's like picking out the Big Dipper or something like that. It's fairly easy to pick out. And Orion is neat. It's one of my favorite constellations, because when you start seeing Orion in the night sky, you know that summer's coming to a close and autumn is approaching. Orion serves as a sign of the coming season. And as Orion begins to rise earlier and earlier in the night sky, until you get to the time where here we are right now, 13 minutes after 11 o'clock here tonight in the Eastern time zone, in a month or so, I'll be able to go outside after the program and I'll look up and there's going to be Orion right up above my head shining brightly. And I know that it's autumn. And then as Orion starts to get lower and lower in the sky and starts to disappear sooner and sooner, I know that spring is coming. And see, back in the past, they didn't have the old farmer's almanac to go to know when the seasons were coming. They watched the night sky, the progression of the various constellations. And also, you ever wonder how they told time back before they had clocks and things like that? Well, what they did is they looked at the position of the sun, for instance, during the day. Now, we're used to, you know, standard time and daylight savings time and all of that, and we understand that as we get closer to winter time, you know, as summer progresses and late summer and autumn comes and we get to winter, the days are getting shorter, the nights are getting longer, the sun sets earlier in the day and rises later, and then in December 21st, we'll have the shortest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere and the longest night of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, about December 21st. And then after that, the days will start getting a little longer, the nights will start getting a little shorter, until eventually June the 21st, you get the longest day in the Northern Hemisphere and the shortest night. And see, we see the sun rising at different times. You watch the weather at night, and they say the sun will rise at 7:32 in the morning, and that's 3 minutes later than it was last week, or something like that. You know, they give you all these kind of figures and information, and it's all interesting. But before they had clocks, before they had time zones and all of this, people went by local time, and when the sun came up in the morning, it didn't matter whether it was December 21st, June 21st, October 21st, July the 2nd. It didn't matter, January 3rd. It was always considered 6 a.m. When the sun reached the highest point in the sky, it was considered noon, hence the term high noon. And then when the sun set, that was considered 6 p.m. And so when the sun was halfway up in the sky, that would be 9 o'clock in the morning, the third hour, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's the third hour of the day. And then 3 more hours, and it would be at the highest point in the sky. And then as it makes its descent about halfway down, you know, about a 45-degree angle from the horizon, it would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, of course, when it's setting, it'd be 6 o'clock. And then you could kind of, you know, guesstimate in between. If you look at 3 o'clock and you could say, well, there's 4, there's 5, 2 divisions down to the horizon, or there's 1, there's 2 divisions up to the high point. And that's how they would guesstimate the time, the third hour of the day, the sixth hour of the day, things like that. And so the sun was a sign where it was at in the sky of the time of day. And of course, when you get further and further from the equator, the position where the sun sets and where it rises changes considerably. And so in the summertime, for instance, the sun is setting more due west and rising more due east. But as you get later in the year, sets more to the southwest, rises more to the northeast. And it varies like that. And so you can tell the sun acts as a sign where you tell the seasons. And that's part of the things that are going on there for signs and for seasons and for days and years. But there's also some things that have taken place in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and some things in Revelation, such as the sun being darkened and the moon and all of that. And so those are some signs that are there. And the Bible says there will be signs that have prophetic import. So is Revelation chapter 12 a prophetic import that's taking place today, right now? Well, here's the thing. They claim that the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and upon her head crowned 12 stars, is the constellation Virgo. And the constellation Virgo right now has the sun is in Virgo, and the moon is roughly at the feet of Virgo, and they contend that the 12 stars making up the crown is the 9 stars of the constellation Leo, and it helps that you know the lion, the king of the beast, is this idea of royalty, I guess, and that's above her head. And so the 9 stars making up the constellation Leo, and if you don't believe there's 9 stars, you can download the free Stellarium software And when you look there, you'll see the constellation Leo outlined with nine stars. And there it is. And then there's three planets that are there. I think it's Mars, Mercury, and Venus, maybe, or something like that. Three of the visible planets. And they're also in and around the constellation of Leo. So the nine stars of Leo plus the three planets, which the ancients called wandering stars, make up 12 stars. There's the crown over her head. There's the sun clothed with the sun. There's the moon at her feet. This lines up perfectly. This is such an amazing thing. Never happened in this combination, along with the other thing with the planet Saturn, which is the, or I'm sorry, Jupiter, which is the royal planet. And the planet Jupiter has been in Virgo, and it has entered into Virgo. It's been there about 9 months, which is the time of course, of a pregnancy of a woman before her child is born. And on September 23rd, lo and behold, Jupiter is going to pass out of Virgo by her feet as if a woman travailing to give birth. Isn't that amazing? And so that means that Jupiter, or the child, is caught up to God and to his throne, and that means the rapture is going to take place on September 23rd. Amazing. Quick, sell everything you have. Put a white robe on. Jump up on the top of your house. No, wait a minute. You can't do that if you sold your house. It's not yours anymore. But anyway, I would suggest you don't sell everything you have and put a white robe on. Somebody did that back in the 1800s, and we got a lot of false teaching and prophecy that resulted from that, resulting in groups like the Seventh-day Adventist and the Jehovah's Witnesses and things, with a lot of false teaching and mixed up eschatology and stuff as a result of that. So let's just stick with the Bible here. So here's what's happening. This is happening, and it's so unique. This has to be a sign that you cannot dispute. It's in the sky right now as we're sitting here right now. Now, here's the thing. Let's look at this uniqueness of it. The sun, because of its traveling through the sky and the way the constellations move, the sun every year appears in the constellation Virgo around September, October for about a month every year. So that's hardly unique. The moon, because of its orbital pattern, appears in the general vicinity of Virgo's feet a day or two each month. So as a result, there's a day or two each year with the sun in Virgo and the moon at her feet, and it's always in the September-October time frame. This year, that is happening right now, and September 23rd is when the sun kind of emerges from behind Virgo. And you say, well, how can the sun emerge behind Virgo when it's, you know, as the sun's up in the daytime and you see Virgo at night? Well, the star and the constellation are still there just because you can't see them and during the time of the day. And so Virgo's still there, and the sun is still moving through it. So, but at any rate, moving on, we say, well, okay, that's maybe not terribly unique since it happens every year. What about Jupiter? Why, this has never happened before. Well, okay, Jupiter is in the constellation Virgo, and this is something that takes place because of the orbital time of Jupiter around the sun, and there's 12 constellations in the zodiac. I'm not talking about astrology here, just the way that they look at these constellations and label them. But approximately every 12 years, Jupiter spends the better part of a year in Virgo. 2017 is one of those years. Now, this is not something that's never happened before either. It happened again in 2005. It happened back in 1993, 1981, 1969, etc. About every 12 years or so, this happens. On September 23 this year, we have a time when the sun, the moon, Virgo all together there, and Jupiter is in Virgo. So, okay, let's take a look at this. Well, here's the one that caps it all off, and that's that there's a crown of 12 stars, and Leo is above the head of Virgo, and so 9 stars in Leo, and then there's the visible planets Mercury, Venus, and Mars, brings us to 12 stars. As I said, the planets were called wandering stars. That's what they called them because they didn't follow a fixed path in the sky like the other stars did. And so there forms 12 stars. This is such a unique thing combined with the other things that this is unparalleled. It must be the Revelation chapter 12 sign playing out in the stars over our head right now as we're on the air. And about to happen on September 23rd, Jupiter is going to pass out of Virgo. It must be the fulfillment of Revelation chapter 12. Well, here's a problem here, too. Here's another problem. The Stellarium software that many people use to prove this, yeah, it shows 9 stars representing Leo. Well, I'm reading a particular article. A guy has a planisphere, and he's had it for over 50 years. He's been using it, and it's a way of viewing the stars. To give you a rough idea, comparing a planisphere to the Stellarium software is like comparing, when people use the slide rule before they had calculators. It works very accurate. It's just older technology. And he's been using this for 50 years to study the constellations, and guess what his planisphere has? It connects 10 stars to outline Leo. Okay, 10 stars plus the 3 planets, that would make 13, not 12. That's not the right number. And so some people say, well, the light-polluted skies, you can't see this, or all these stars. You can only see 9 stars. That's all that's visible. Well, again, this one astronomer went out in the night sky in northern or in suburban Cincinnati, Ohio, and he went out on one night, not too far from Cincinnati, where you have light pollution. He counted 13 stars making up the constellation Leo. And somebody argued with that and said, well, the ancient depictions of Leo include 9 and only 9 stars. Case proved. Well, Claudius Ptolemy wrote a very interesting book called The Almagest. And this was published in about the year 140. Now, John was writing in Revelation 12 about the year 90. So this is about 50 years after John wrote here in Revelation 12. And guess how many stars Ptolemy put in the constellation Leo? 27. If you add the 3 planets, that gives us 30. Okay. We've got some significant problems here. I could go on with a number of these things, but and I do have a caller who has called in. I appreciate your patience, and hopefully if we don't get to our caller right away, we'll pick you up after the break. But let me just finish this. I'll try to go through this a little bit faster here. Now we've set the tone here. There are some problems here. It's not exactly what it's presented to be. It's not terribly unique. It's not the most common combination. In fact, somebody cataloged a number of these things that are taking place that it's happened at least 4 times in the last 1,000 years with the sun, the moon, and the 3 stars in Leo and all of that. So it's not something that's never happened before. But here's the thing. In Revelation chapter 12, the woman is Israel. Maybe the second half of the program we might touch on this a little bit more. The woman represents Israel, and none of these people mention, I went through several things tonight trying to see if anybody mentions this. Nobody mentions the dragon. It says, there appeared another wonder in heaven in verse 3, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And it says that he stood before, in verse 4, the woman ready to be delivered. Well, there's a constellation, Draco the dragon, which is nowhere near the feet of Virgo. It's in a different part of the sky. So it's hardly there waiting to devour the child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, the Bible says, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Let me just give you this because we're quickly running out of time in this half of the program. And I do want to get to our caller here too at some point tonight. And other people have wanted to call in too. But let me just give you this. And we'll discuss it perhaps more in the second half of the program. But basically, the physics, the astronomy is wrong. It's presented wrongly. You're forcing a square peg in a round hole. And the other problem with this event is something that takes place during the midpoint of the tribulation, not prior to the tribulation. The child that's born to the woman would be Jesus Christ, who is the one in Revelation chapter 19, in fact, and elsewhere in the scripture, of course. The Bible says that Jesus returns here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, talking about Jesus, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he also mentions, I believe in Revelation chapter 2, let's see here, about verse number 26 toward the end. It says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power of the nations. And then it's talking about Jesus here, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And that goes back to Psalm chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, which makes that clear that they're talking about the Messiah there. So Jesus is the one that rules with a rod of iron. What do you think happened when Jesus was born? Remember, about 2 years later after Jesus was born, probably about 2 years, the wise men showed up and they were looking for the Christ, for the king that was born, king of the Jews. And Herod said, well, when you find out where he's at, let me know. And God warned them, said, don't go back to Herod. And Herod got upset, wanted to kill the Christ child. And he sent the soldiers and they killed all the children. He tried to kill them. This is the devil trying to kill the child. And then Jesus, of course, the one who's going to rule with a rod of iron after his resurrection, what happened in the book of Acts? He was caught up to God in heaven. Well, we're going to pick this up in the second half. If you're on hold, stay with us. Join us for the second half. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And I just want to remind you, if you're trying to find us on Facebook Live, you're not going to find us tonight. For whatever reason, it won't let us broadcast tonight. So that's where we're at. Apologize for that. And also come to my attention that they're having some difficulty in terms of getting our signal down in Tampa. Some people reporting that they're having some difficulty hearing us down there. And so hopefully they might get some of those difficulties straightened out here as well. But I apologize for that. You can always listen to us online, for instance, either at letstalkfaith.com. That's where our Tampa affiliates, Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. But if they're having trouble getting our signal, you're not going to hear us on letstalkfaith.com there, in which case you can go to, let's see, what's our thing up here, whkwradio.com. Here's our home station, 1220 WHKW here in the Cleveland area, Independence, Ohio. And so if you have trouble, just go to whkwradio.com and you can click on the Listen Live button at whkwradio.com and hear us there if you're having trouble on the air on your radio tonight. And so, but hopefully we'll get some of those things straightened out, figure what's going on, and have that straightened out by next week, assuming that the world does not come to an end on September 23rd, like we were talking about in the previous half hour. A reminder, too, you can find us online, our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can go to our Facebook page, Facebook Live with Pastor Al. You can follow us there and keep up with some things on that as well. Let's see. I also wanted to mention, of course, not only we brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And just to let you know, too, if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, you can click on the link there for East Coast Pizza and find out a little bit more there, see their menu. But we mentioned this too, even if you're outside of the Cleveland area and it's too far to go for a pizza, but maybe you're trying to start your own pizza shop or you got a restaurant and you want to add pizza to it and you need a good pizza recipe, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business, not a franchise, for a lot less of what you might think possible. All right, we're going to get back to the program. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Nancy's on the line. Nancy, thank you for waiting so long. I was trying to get to some information there. And glad you're on the air with us tonight, Nancy. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. I really enjoyed your description of various astronomical, theories and how they don't all match up. But I wanted to thank you especially for a wonderful time at your anniversary Sunday today. The friendliness, of your members there and guests and, great fellowship, wonderful food and excellent music by Eric Howitt, just a real blessing. And can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
And I was going to say, I want to thank you for coming out. We really enjoyed having you visit.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you fine, Nancy.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for a wonderful anniversary Sunday. And, I was thinking, I do have a question about 1 Thessalonians 5:22, but mm-hmm. I just wanted to make a comment about September 23rd, because that coincides with our missionary program, at our church.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to be attending
the Bible Baptist Temple out in Euclid, Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah, if we all got raptured up during the missions conference.
It would be a good way to go, wouldn't it? We can have some of the famous pastor's wife, Carol Rusnacko. We can have some of her famous roast beef before we go.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about your wife's delicious, famous roast beef?
I have to interject something here. I made the roast beef at our church dinner.
You did.
That's my roast beef. I bought the roast beef. I took it out of the freezer, and she's giving me the violin over there. I took it out of the freezer. I put it in the crock pot. Now, I will give her this. She cut up the vegetables for me last night. In times past, I'd even cut up the vegetables. But I'm the one who puts the spices and the seasoning in there and covers it with the water, gets it set.
So tasty.
And
you gonna ever
my
give
wife
your recipe?
Serves it and gets all the compliments.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to give you the compliments. Thank you for your wonderful roast beef.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, when I was growing up, and we'll get to your question there in just a moment. When I was growing up, my grandmother was, her philosophy was all of her grandkids needed to learn how to cook. Mm-hmm. And so whenever she was over at the house, she would have us in the kitchen and she would show us things to do, basic things for cooking. And my mom was quite a good cook too. In fact, she actually was a cook in the local high school, and that's not always a guarantee of a good cook, but she was a good cook. Mm-hmm. She cooked for a lot of things. A lot of people liked her cooking, and my mom also taught us how to do things. And so when I left home, when I went off to college and went off to the Air Force and lived on my own, and then when I got married, I was completely competent, in terms of I didn't starve. I knew how to fix food. I could feed
That's
myself
wonderful.
Quite easily. So
I enjoy doing it
when I have the time. And so thank you. Thank you, Nancy, for complimenting on
welcome.
The roast beef.
You're welcome. And I just wanted to tell you, not a similar experience with my mother, because my mother did not like to cook, but I love to cook. So I had free reign in the kitchen. I cooked all the meals from junior high through high school, and my twin sister washed all the dishes. And I just really enjoyed cooking. And my mother, I think there was a method to her madness, because she would compliment everything I would make, very profusely. I think she wanted me to continue. But I really did enjoy doing it. But my grandmother was a wonderful cook. So anyhow, just a little reminiscing. I wanted to ask you about if this was appropriate for me to say, I have a distant relative in the state of Washington. The whole family, they celebrate Halloween, and this one young lady, she's a cousin of my great-nephew. I won't give you her name. I don't think they're listening anyhow. But she just entered high school, or junior high. I don't know. She's 13. And all of a sudden, she's wearing all black. She's wearing all black clothes.
It's like that gothic style, huh?
Yeah, the gothic and black lipstick. And I made a comment on her Facebook. I said, this looks rather satanic. That's what the people that worship Satan wear. And I used the Bible verse, Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearances of evil. But her mother was very defensive. She says, no, there's nothing satanic about it. So I didn't know if I said something to offend them. I just wanted them to be aware that's what the Satanists wear. You know, those that are into Satan. Did you think I was being too harsh by making that statement?
Yeah, not knowing the situation with it. I know a lot of kids will go through phases and things like that, but some of that style does have, some emulation of that. I remember my wife and I, we went to this restaurant one time, and due to her schedule and my schedule, I think we were there. It was a 24-hour restaurant or something, and we must have been there around 11 o'clock at night. And this hearse pulls in. We're in a small town. Actually, the restaurant's not there anymore. It's in Wadsworth. So this hearse pulls in. Now, when you're sitting in a restaurant, you know, it's about 10, 11 o'clock at night, and a hearse pulls in, it looks decidedly odd.
Scary.
And out of the hearse gets this young couple. They were probably in their 20s, you know, and they were dressed head to foot in black. And they must have had powder or something to make themselves look whiter than normal. I think she had bright red lipstick on her, or it wasn't red. It was like that dark, kind of brownish red color, like dried blood. And it was decidedly odd looking. I think both of them had shoes. If you remember the old show, The Munsters. I think both of them were wearing shoes like what Herman Munster wore, these big heavy things with big heavy soles on them. And they come clumping in, and they sat down. And oddly enough, they were actually meeting somebody who was trying to help them with some kind of investment program. So this guy comes in wearing kind of a, he wasn't wearing a
Halloween.
He wasn't wearing a coat and tie or anything, but he was kind of like business casual. And there's, he's sitting across from them. It just looked weird. But some kids will go through phases where they just want to look weird. You know, teenagers do that. Teenagers, it's like how any of us survive being teenagers is beyond me sometimes. But sometimes they'll do that, and it's and they'll go through fades, phases and fads and things like that. It's just like, you know, my pet peeve is the pants that hang down below their backside, which really is emulating the prison garb where they don't have a belt. They're having to hold their pants up, but that's beside the point. So sometimes that's all it is. Okay. That's all it is. But they're imitating something that's not necessarily wholesome oftentimes. And that's where this verse, abstain from all appearance of evil, can have application. Because, you know, if you're a Christian, why do you want to look and dress in such a fashion that makes people think of something satanic or dark or something like that? You know, why would you want to look like you just stepped out of the backside of the hearse, you know, like this couple that got out of that hearse there at that restaurant at night. And that, I guess, was their car. They bought a car to go, it completed their look. So we look at that, but there are some groups that do use this style of dress. For instance, I'm going to go to a totally different group, not the Satanists or the witches or something like that. But if you see on the news, you'll see these riots where, you know, it always astounds me, in order to show their standing for free speech, Antifa gets out their dresses in all black, puts a black baklava over. Baklava?
Yeah.
Not a baklava. That's that's something you eat. What's that ski mask thing that you put on your head?
I know what you mean.
But at any rate, they dress in all black. They do that to intimidate. And then they go out and they break windows and you know, try to turn cars over and assault people who are trying to voice an opinion that they don't agree with. And of course they're doing this to defend free speech.
It's so hypocritical.
Yeah, and so they dress in the all black in order to intimidate people, okay? There are people who are into Satanism and things like that, and they dress in the all black a lot of times because they're imitating, you know, the things of darkness, not the things of light. So if somebody is a Christian, and I'm not saying a Christian can't wear a black suit or a black dress. You know, it's not what I'm saying. But if you're dressing and you're altering your appearance, that's going to emulate whether it's the Antifa people that basically have become rent-a-thugs for George Soros and the Democrat Party.
Oh, exactly.
Or whether you're dressing as Satanists that are dressing to celebrate blackness and evil, or whether you're dressing in these gothic style, I don't even know if they still use that term today, but you're doing it just to go with the latest fad or to kind of thumb your nose at the adults around you in your life. If you're imitating that in your dress and appearance, you're giving the appearance of evil. And they say, well, is it evil just to be a little rebellious? But we can remember evil is not always doing really bad things. Evil is is not the opposite of good. It's the lack of good. And the less good that there is in something or someone or some movement, the more we perceive it as evil. But it's just like darkness is not the opposite of light. It's the absence of light. Okay. And so when there's a room gets dimmer and darker, you're not the light fixtures are not putting out darkness. They're just putting out less light. So when we dim the lights, we're putting out less light, not more darkness. And so when there's less good in something or someone, then just like the room getting darker, what's happening, less good, it's becoming more evil. And we tend to reserve the word evil in our normal usage for something that's really, really bad. But what you see is a drift away from goodness. You know, God is light, and in him is no darkness. You know, God is good, and in him is no evil. So when you are progressively dressing more like the world in the sense of the Antifa, in a way to frighten and intimidate people, or in the manner of the Satanists, in a way to dress rebellious towards God and Christianity and holiness, or in the case of somebody following a fad to kind of upset authority in your life, what you're doing is drifting in away from goodness into lack of goodness, which is evil. You see what I'm saying? Just like as you gradually turn the lights down, it gets darker and darker. And oftentimes, as you turn the lights down, you get used to it. And you know, you come into a room and somebody's reading, and you say, I remember my mom coming in saying, "How can you read? It's so dark in here. You need to turn some lights on." But I'll have been reading, and the sun went down, and it's twilight, and it's getting dimmer and dimmer. The light's getting dimmer, and my eyes are following along, getting used to the darkness. And I'm still able to read, and my mom will come in. She's been in a room where the lights are on, and her eyes are not used to it, and she perceives the room as too dark to read when I was growing up. And she would say, "How can you read? You're going to hurt your eyes. Turn a light on. It's too dark in here." And see, I got used to the darkness gradually. And see, people get used to the evil gradually. And when kids are going through these phases in their life, and remember, it's the role of adults in their life to guide them and to give them godly advice. Sometimes they don't always like it. And each family is different, depending on the relationship you know you have with your siblings and with your in-laws and with your nieces and nephews and grandkids. Depending on the relationships that people have, you know, they have sometimes greater or lesser ability to be able to provide godly advice to extended family members, especially children. And so it's not always appreciated, even by the child or by the child's parents. And but sometimes, if the Lord moves in somebody's heart, if we can find a way to tactfully in love, try to indicate to people that we have to be on guard, we have to be vigilant. Today is I believe today is Constitution Day. Celebrate the adoption of the United States Constitution. And Benjamin Franklin was asked when they got the Constitution together, they said, "What kind of a government did you give us?" Because they were thinking, are we going to be a kingdom? Are we going to be a dictatorship? What are we going to be? And he said, "Ma'am, a republic, if you can keep it. Yes, if you can keep it." Because, the cost of freedom, it's the eternal vigilance, is the cost of freedom. We have to constantly be on guard to protect the freedom that the Constitution gives us. Now, that's in the secular sense. In the spiritual sense, we have to constantly be on guard to protect ourselves and those around us from drifting away from God. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil conspire to lure us away from God, to lure us away from godly standards and biblical principles. And it can start with small things. And that's why Paul wrote here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil, because it starts with the appearance. Let me give you a passage in Psalms. This just I just thought of this, and I think this goes on with what we're saying here. And let's go back to Psalm, the first Psalm, Psalm number 1. And let me get turned back over there. Psalm number 1. Went a little too far. Went to Job here. Here we go. Psalm number 1. Starting with verse number 1. Here it is. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you see the progression there? Here's a man. This is he's saying, blessed is the man that doesn't do these things. Here's the progression. First, he's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's just merely walking with them and listening to them. Then he stops and stands in the way of sinners. See, first he was just sort of listening as he's walking along. Now he's stopping and he's standing in the way of sinners. And then what's the next thing he does? He sits in the seat of the scornful. Do you see the progression? He's walking along, listening,
You know, that's,
stops.
Psalm 1 is what we memorize for Reformers Unanimous.
Yeah.
We say it every week.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example there of what we were talking about. Abstaining from the very appearance of evil can keep you from walking in the counsel of ungodly, the ungodly, which leads to standing in the way of sinners, and then finally sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're taking your place with them. And God says, blessed is the man that doesn't do those things. Instead, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's what's going to help people. And you know, when we're young, we don't always appreciate that. So hopefully, Nancy, that helped out a bit there. And I want to thank you for calling with that question. That's very good, and I appreciate that. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Coming up our final couple of minutes, probably too late to get another phone call in tonight. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. And we'll have some of our computer problems and connection issues sorted out in the meanwhile. And we'll be back next week. But, again, I do want to remind you, take a healthy dose of reality when you look at some of these claims, such as the claims that the world is going to end. You know, I tell people sometimes that it's almost like tongue in cheek, but I say, well, I'm confident that it's going to be at least 1,007 years before the world comes to an end. The reason for that is there's the millennial reign of Christ. That's 1,000 years. And then there's the 7 years of the tribulation period. So there's at least 1,007 years. There may be considerably more time than that, but, we need to take a healthy dose of reality when we look at some of these things. I'm going to post some things on our Facebook Live page, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, and I'm going to try and get something up hopefully before the end of the world on our Live with Pastor Al .com page, and some articles that you can look at and you can be aware. Don't get upset. The Bible says when we see these things begin to happen, that we should look up, lift up our heads, look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We know the Lord's coming soon, and we know that the events that are taking are lining up that would take place during the course of the tribulation, leading up to the end of the tribulation and the return of Christ at the Battle of Armageddon when he comes in power and glory. But prior to that, he's going to catch away the believers to be with him in heaven. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Don't be dismayed. Stay in the book. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.